Thanks for joining us for Market Sense. I'm Heather Hedges with Fidelity. The debt ceiling is front and center in Washington right now, and it could have big implications on Wall Street. You know, some investors are nervous about a possible U.S. default and the U.S. credit rating being downgraded. But for now, the market on the whole seems to be shrugging it off. So to unpack all of that and what it means for your money and fears of a possible recession, we're joined today, as we often are, by Fidelity's Director of Global Macro, Jurjen Timmer. We're also excited to welcome back, after a little bit of a hiatus, Ashley Tran, a Florida-based vice president and branch leader here at Fidelity. Thanks so much to both of you for making the time to be on the show today.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. Happy to be here.
Yes, great to see you. Welcome back, Ashley.
Well, today is Tuesday, May 23rd, and you know the debt ceiling news continues to develop hour by hour. We are all watching this very closely. You know, the negotiations are politically complex. They're high stakes. They're happening behind closed doors. So we want to unpack this all for you today. We want to start off with Jurjen. And Jurjen, if you would, please, could you give us just first of all a quick refresher of what the debt ceiling is and then catch us up on how we got to where we are right now?
Yeah, so the debt ceiling has been around for a while, and invariably the government ends up spending even more money than the debt ceiling allows. And then you get to the debt ceiling, and then you get, you know, to the kind of drama that we're seeing play out today. And it's certainly not the first time that has happened. I can assure you it won't be the last time, probably. We've seen this movie many, many times. The market has seen it many times. Probably the most infamous example was the summer of 2011, when the U.S. debt actually got downgraded. The market went down 20% that summer, although the Eurozone debt crisis was also very much in full bloom at the time. Remember when Greece and Italy and Portugal were going to potentially default on their debt? So there were other factors going on at the time that caused the market to go down. But so here we are, you know, obviously negotiations are happening. It is in a politically divisive time. It's right, you know, coming up with an election. So it's often an opportunity for politicians to score points. And eventually, there really is no choice but to raise the debt ceiling for the simple reason that the money has already been spent, right? So Congress decides how much money to spend. And then the Treasury just has to finance the debt that is the result of that spending. So for Congress to say the Treasury cannot issue debt to fund the money that Congress has already spent is a little bit silly, for the lack of a better word. And actually, it's unconstitutional because the 14th Amendment says that it is unconstitutional to default on the debt. So it's a lot of theatrics. It's obviously nerve-wracking. You can see the market is down about 0.7% today. So it's not immaterial. It's not that it's not important, because what can happen is that the Treasury will run out of cash probably in the next week or two, June 1st. It's called the X date. And so it's not precise, because, you know, the Treasury has cash at the Fed. It's receiving tax collections, things like that. But at some point, if a debt ceiling deal is not reached, the government will run out of money and it will start picking and choosing which bills to pay. And, you know, it may not pay paychecks for its federal employees. It might even have to shut down for a few weeks. That has also happened in the past. But the notion of the government not paying its debt or interest on the debt would be the kind of a doomsday scenario that will be avoided at all costs. And even the parties to the negotiation right now have stated explicitly that defaulting on the debt is not an option.
Let's talk about some of the other implications for this quickly, Jurjen, about if Congress does not raise the debt ceiling, what else could happen?
Well, so that, you know, what could happen is the markets, of course, don't like uncertainty. And so it will, in all likelihood, create some volatility the further we get past the X date. And what you can see is that the government will stop paying some of its bills because it literally will not have the cash to do it, right? So we've been for a few months now doing what's called extraordinary measures, where the Treasury is just trying to pull a rabbit out of the hat to come up with the money to spend on paying its bills. And, you know, in a way, the Treasury has been fortunate that because the Fed has increased its balance sheet so much since the COVID lockdown that the interest that accrues on that balance sheet actually belongs to the Treasury. So that it's called the Treasury General Account or the TGA. And the Treasury has been able to use its cash balance at the Fed to pay some of the bills. But that cash balance, which 2 years ago was $1.8 trillion, is now only about $50 billion. So we're getting pretty close to the end in terms of how much money there is to be spent. And then at that point, the government will just kind of have to temporarily not pay, you know, its contractors, maybe its federal employees, until the debt ceiling is raised again.
All right, Ashley, I want to bring you in. I'm assuming you're getting a lot of questions right now from customers about this and what it all means for them. What are they asking you? What are some of the big, most commonly asked questions?
Yeah, so we absolutely are. And I'm glad that we have the opportunity to talk about this today. I know our branch has been getting a fair amount of calls about this, but it's not just specific to our branch. I think nationally, we're hearing a lot of customer concern. And the big concern is really, what does this actually mean for me? And, you know, I say there will always be times of uncertainty in the market. But I think what makes right now stick out is that hearing words like debt ceiling and default all over the headlines, it sounds very daunting. But we like to remind customers that it's times like these when it becomes even more important to take a long-term view of your investments and review them regularly to make sure they're in line with your time frame for investing, your risk tolerance, and your overall financial situation. And ideally, your investment mix is one that's going to offer you the potential to meet your goals while also letting you rest easy at night, no matter what the environment is, since we know it's changing. I like to call that an all-weather approach. So my basic guidance when clients say, you know, what does this mean for me? What should I be doing? I say to not do anything differently. Right now, what we're feeling is normal. Like Urien mentioned, it's happened before. It'll happen again. It's complex and likely we'll hear about resolution at the last minute because these negotiations take time. But we get that it doesn't feel good. When Urien mentioned this has happened before in extraordinary measures, actually, since 1985, the Treasury has acted and resorted to taking extraordinary measures like we are now 11 times. And each time that has happened, Congress has acted to forestall default. But that announcement came at the very last minute through a lot of high stakes wrangling. But if you are feeling fearful, I would start with reflecting on what you're feeling fearful about. And many people's response would be, well, I'm afraid of losing money. And I would challenge that further and ask, what is the real impact of losing that money? Does that mean you're losing income that's covering your essential expenses? Does that mean you're losing out on money you had hoped to pass down to heirs? Defining that real impact of the market volatility or potential for loss is the first step in building out a plan for that all-weather portfolio to help you prioritize how to meet the goals. And if you have questions about that or want to talk to a financial professional through your goals and plans, you can do that for free by just giving us a call.
All right. That's good to keep in mind, Ashley. You both mentioned that this has happened before. So what do we know from history being our guide about how this could impact the markets? Urien, let's ask you that question.
I mean, in a way, I think of it, it's already very much in the rearview mirror. But remember Brexit? That was one of those things that everyone was really worried about. And that's not to say that Brexit didn't have implications, of course, back over in the UK. But when it finally was resolved, you know, there was some short-term volatility. The market went down for a few days and then it recovered and everyone sort of went along about their business. And I don't mean to minimize what's happening, of course. It's very serious business to not pay bills, whether you're a person or the government. And it's extremely serious business if you're a sovereign country that has a lot of debt to not pay back that debt. But, you know, as Ashley said, when it really push comes to shove and you look at your portfolio, it's good to ask, like, what would actually happen, right? So let's say you have a portfolio of stocks and bonds. Stocks ultimately our stock prices ultimately follow earnings. So how would a shutdown or a default affect corporate earnings? I'm not so clear that a temporary shutdown where the country can't pay its bills would have a lasting impact on that. And the same on bonds. Obviously, if the government were to default on the debt, that would have a very immense implication. And we can think of episodes in other countries, third world countries, emerging markets, where countries have defaulted and their currency went down and they never recovered. But the U.S. is hardly in that category. It is the reserve currency of the world. If there was, God forbid, a default, it would likely be very temporary, maybe spanning a few weeks. Let's say interest doesn't get paid on T-bills. And then when the debt ceiling does get raised, which it always has, and there really is no alternative than to raise it, because like I said earlier, the money has already been spent. Then once the debt ceiling is raised, those T-bills or whatever securities are will just be paid in arrears. So it's not fun. It might cause some disruption, some volatility. Maybe the dollar gets more volatile. But ultimately, these things tend to be resolved because there literally is no other alternative.
Hmm. Yeah. Heather, can I actually add to that? Thinking about what Urien mentioned and how historically stocks have moved higher after past debt crisis. And I would just be remiss not to mention the importance of discipline and staying invested. So like Urien mentioned, the markets tend to bounce back after a resolution regarding debt ceilings. And I think there's an important message here to remind clients that you can make up for downside loss over time. But if you miss the upside, that is not something that you can make up or get back or create. And when markets fall and we see the volatility, it's natural to feel stressed, but sometimes those feelings will tempt you to pull your money out of the market entirely. However, not being invested can come with its own set of risk, particularly if and when the markets rebound. So when someone pulls their money out of the market and goes to cash, they're usually scared, but they often plan or forget to plan for the other side of that. And that is the, what is my plan to get back into the market? When and how will I actually do that? Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Ashley. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to say, if we move when we feel good or bad, it's possible you're not going to feel comfortable getting back into the market until the volatility slows down and you feel good. And by that time, you could miss out on some very significant days. And what do you add to that, Urien?
Yeah, no, I was just going to highlight what you just said. And rather than having volatility be your enemy, where you make knee-jerk reactions and sell when things get a little bit scary, you can actually use them to your advantage and say, okay, we're having a volatility event, the market's down 10% or what have you. You can use that as a rebalancing opportunity. And so, one person's pain could be another investor's gain.
Good perspective from both of you there. I did want to talk about what this means for the Fed's plan as well, and whether this uncertainty could impact the Fed's course. Urien, I'm curious to get your take on whether you think this could make it more likely that the Fed pauses or pivots now even.
So the expectations from the market of the Fed is that the Fed is pretty much done raising rates. And of course, it has raised them quite a bit from zero a little over a year ago to about 5 to 5.25 right now. And the expectation, I think, probably unrealistically from the market, is that the Fed will start cutting rates soon. And I don't think that that's in the card, because the inflation, even though it's improving, has not improved enough, I think, for the Fed to give the all clear. So I think the Fed is probably looking at this in a similar way that we're talking about this, saying, if the government were to shut down for a week or two, and again, that has happened in the past. So basically, federal employees are told not to come to work because they can't get paid. They basically got furloughed for a few weeks. Contractors are not getting paid. And if that's all just temporary, a week or two until a deal is reached, I don't think it will sway the Fed in one way or the other. And think of it almost like a natural disaster, although this is a self-made disaster, mm-hmm. if it is one, that, if there's like a hurricane and the economy stops for a week and then reopens, it's not really going to change the long-term course of economic growth. But if the economy closes and stays closed for 6 months or 3 months, like we saw with COVID, of course, that's a different story. So the Fed, I think, would look at it in the same way. And I think it would be extremely unlikely that if even if there is a shutdown, that it would last more than a few days or a few weeks, because at some point, all the politicians that are at the impasse of this fiscal cliff are going to start getting calls from their constituents. And that if that doesn't motivate them, basically nothing will.
What about, though, the potential for a looming recession? You know, we talk a lot about that here on Market Sense. Could this be the final straw that tips the U.S. in a recession?
I mean, it's always possible. It could be a catalyst, but I think there are bigger forces at play. And again, it comes down to whether this would be a short-term situation or a longer term. I think the bigger narrative, though, is, you know, there's a reason we're having a debt ceiling conversation. That's because there's a lot of debt. And there's a lot of debt at the same time that the Fed, because inflation is a problem, is raising rates a lot. And high rates and high debt do not mix very well. And so, and we've seen this, of course, with some bank headlines over the past few months. So if there is going to be a recession, it might get sped up by this. It might be a catalyst. But ultimately, the problem that the debt ceiling is addressing is probably the more important thing than the debt ceiling itself.
Well, another thing we haven't talked about that I know is also a concern on a lot of people's minds, Urians, is the possibility that rating agencies could downgrade the U.S. credit rating because of all of this. How real, in your view, is the possibility of that happening? And if that were to happen, what would that mean for the U.S.?
Well, our debt got downgraded in 2011, which, of course, is already a long time away. So we're at double A. You know, all of these issues are known issues, right? We already know that the debt level is very high. COVID certainly had a lot to do with it. But even beyond COVID, the country is running pretty big deficits, and those deficits are approved by both sides of the aisle, right? So this is not really a partisan issue. And so that is the bigger issue. So if the government, if the government's debt would get downgraded by a rating agency, I don't know that it would be because of the current debt ceiling impasse, but it would just be because there's just a lot of debt and the government is not running a fiscally sound ship. And so obviously the debt ceiling is a manifestation of that. But I haven't heard anything that a downgrade is imminent or would be triggered. And again, there's only been one downgrade, despite, you know, as Ashley said, 11 of these episodes. And so, but ultimately, it's still the U.S. It's still the reserve currency. We're still the largest economy. So if the debt goes from AA to AA minus, it's not good. You know, nobody wants to get their debt downgraded. But I don't know that it would actually change very much around the world.
Okay. Well, Urian hasn't heard anything about that yet. But Ashley, you know, what would a U.S. credit rating getting downgraded mean for investors? Is there anything that investors would want to consider if we were to be in that kind of situation?
Sure. So just some points of awareness that it could drive some volatility because it does not feel good, right? And it's going to sound like I'm repeating myself here a little bit, but we really encourage customers to not make impulsive decisions based on the headlines. And reasons for that being, for one, like we've been saying, the default is unlikely. And secondly, it's not going to change anyone's portfolio. What it could do, however, is create some temporary dislocation, which I'm going to revisit what Urian brought up earlier, could be used as a really good opportunity to rebalance. So quick reminder on rebalancing. Rebalancing is just adjusting the weightings of the different asset classes in your portfolio. That can be industry or sector specific or a combination of both. But that is going to be key to what can help you remain properly invested as the market shift and experience that volatility. Because when dislocation happens, sometimes the market stress can cause disruption and it can be tough to price assets correctly in an absolute and relative basis. And that may actually alter the risk that you're taking on with your current mix. So we use the term diversification a lot, meaning having that intentional mix of stocks, bonds, and short term that aligns with your horizon and risk tolerance. But that's not just a one-time act. ask to diversify, you need to keep that on track with periodic checkups. So we do encourage investors to monitor their portfolios and periodically evaluate changes. Do I need to go in, rebalance, take a look at relative performance and risk? And there's different ways that you can do that. For example, consider rebalancing if any part of your asset mix moves away from a certain target percentage, but a full-time job, something to always consider as we see the markets moving up and down.
All right, good perspective, Ashley. You know, we're about 9 days away from June 1st, all eyes on Washington. And Yuri and I just wanted to end things by asking you what you're going to be watching in the week ahead.
Well, obviously, we're going to be watching this drama, but again, it's a movie that we've seen before. And it's always ended the same way, and that is with another increase in the debt ceiling. And think of it this way: you know, when you're standing over the cliff, the easiest thing to do is to build more land, and that's ultimately what the government has always done. And I expect that will happen again.
All right, a nice analogy there. Great conversation. Thank you both, Ashley and Yuri. Well, you know, you're going to continue to monitor the very latest for us on this front. And we also know that staying on track during uncertain times can take discipline. We talked about how it can feel a little bit uncomfortable to be where we are right now, but Fidelity does have a lot of resources that can help you. So we encourage you to scan the QR code right there on your screen right now, or type in the URL there to sign up for our free weekly Viewpoints newsletter, where our team of financial writers help us all sort through the headlines and lay out what you need to know in order to make informed, educated decisions. As a reminder, if you have questions about making a financial plan or staying on track, Fidelity can help with that. So call us, go online, or download Fidelity's app to learn more. And before we go, just a quick programming note. We're going to be off next Tuesday, but we're back the first Tuesday in June with the first of two mid-year shows, actually. We're diving into money moves that you might want to consider making as we take our pulse halfway through the year, as well as a mid-year checkup on the economy. And it's pretty wild to think that we are midway through the year already, but here we are. So we are working on those two big shows for you. So mark your calendars for June 6th and June 13th. We're going to be watching the situation in Washington. So stay with Fidelity for the latest. I'm Heather Hedges on behalf of Yuri and Timmer and Ashley Tran. Hope you have a great week.
Information presented herein is for discussion and illustrative purposes only and is not a recommendation or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Views expressed are as of the date indicated based on the information available at that time and may change based on market and other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC. To the extent any investment information in this material is deemed to be a recommendation, it is not meant to be impartial investment advice or advice in a fiduciary capacity and is not intended to be used as a primary basis for you or your client's investment decisions. Fidelity and its representatives may have a conflict of interest in the products or services mentioned in this material because they have a financial interest in them and receive compensation directly or indirectly in connection with the management, distribution, or servicing of these products or services, including Fidelity funds, certain third-party funds and products, and certain investment services. Investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. You cannot invest directly in an index. Diversification and/or asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against loss. Stock markets are volatile and can fluctuate significantly in response to company, industry, political, regulatory, market, or economic developments. Investing in stock involves risks, including the loss of principal. Foreign markets can be more volatile than U.S. markets due to increased risks of adverse issuer, political, market, or economic developments, all of which are magnified in emerging markets. These risks are particularly significant for investments that focus on a single country or region. In general, the bond market is volatile and fixed income securities carry interest rate risk. As interest rates rise, bond prices usually fall and vice versa. This effect is usually more pronounced for longer-term securities. Fixed income securities also carry inflation risk, liquidity risk, call risk, and credit and default risks for both issuers and counterparties. Lower quality fixed income securities involve greater risk of default or price changes due to potential changes in the credit quality of the issuer. Foreign investments involve greater risks than U.S. investments and can decline significantly in response to adverse issuer, political, regulatory, market, and economic risks. Any fixed income security sold or redeemed prior to maturity may be subject to loss. Corporate bonds are subject to credit risk. It's important to pay attention to changes in the credit quality of the issuer. Less creditworthy issuers may be more likely to default on interest payments or principal repayment. If a bond issuer fails to make either a coupon or principal payment when they are due, or fails to meet some other provision of the bond indenture, it is said to be in default. One way to manage this risk is diversify across different issuers and industry sectors. High-yield, non-investment-grade bonds involve greater price volatility and risk of default than investment-grade bonds. Fidelity Wealth Services provides non-discretionary financial planning and discretionary investment management through one or more portfolio advisory service accounts for a fee. Advisory services offered by Fidelity Personal and Workplace Advisors, LLC, FPWA, a registered investment advisor. Discretionary portfolio management services provided by Strategic Advisors, LLC, Strategic Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Brokerage services provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, FBS, and custodial and related services provided by National Financial Services, LLC, NFS, each a member NYSE and SIPC. FPWA, FBS, and NFS are Fidelity Investments companies. Fidelity does not provide legal or tax advice. The information herein is general and educational in nature and should not be considered legal or tax advice. Tax laws and regulations are complex and subject to change, which can materially impact investment results. Fidelity cannot guarantee that the information herein is accurate, complete, or timely. Fidelity makes no warranties with regard to such information or results obtained by its use and disclaims any liability arising out of your use of or any tax position taken in reliance on such information. Consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific situation. This information is intended to be educational and is not tailored to the investment needs of any specific investor. Personal and workplace investment products are provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.